A very good morning to you, family. It is with Jesus' joy that I greet you this morning and tell you that you are precious before God. You are God's masterpiece. He loves you. He loves me. And today, as a representative of this love, as a representative of Abba Father, I bring His word to you. I bring the word of God that can build you up, that can challenge you, that can provoke you, that can change you, that can open the heavens for you. I humbly appeal to you this morning. Give all your time to the Word of God. Find something in this message this morning that can change you. If it cannot change you, send this message to at least three people, somebody that needs an upgrade in their lives. Somebody that needs a change in their lives. Somebody who is tired of being where they are. If you are concerned about the future of some of your families, friends, and colleagues, ask them today to listen to this message. Beloved, I'm the servant of God. I'm your pastor. I'm the bond servant of God. I'm your spiritual leader, and I pray today that all of us will be able to align to what God is saying in these last days. We've been sharing over the last few weeks on what's in the house, and making you aware that certain things should be installed in the house. After the foundation is laid, after it is approved, and the foundation is none else but Jesus Christ, the building has to be completed. And we spoke about the building being built with living stones, and you and I are that building, living stones. We are the building of God. And then that house that is built must be occupied, must be filled. Number one, it has to be filled with the doctrine of Christ. Number two, we spoke about obedience. It must be filled with obedience. Number three, it must be filled with humility, because humility brings the grace of God into your life. What else should be in the house? Today I want to speak about the supernatural upgrade in your life and my life. The supernatural upgrade that should be in the house of God. Which house is that? You and I, the family of God. We cannot stay where we are post-COVID. We have to welcome a supernatural upgrade, beloved. Shortly, in a few weeks' time, I want to share on the power of God. We can't just have the word of God in the house. We have to have the power of God operating in the house of God also. This month, the whole country is celebrating women. It's Women's Day, Women's Month. And of course, tomorrow we are on holiday and it's Women's Day. I want to thank God for the women of this household, for being faithful, for being caring, for being the ones that will pray, ones that will show compassion, ones that will not dip in your passion, ones that will be obedient to the spiritual order of God's house, and also for your faithful giving in your tithes, offering, and first fruits. For being so responsible in your giving that this house can be where it is today. In the name of Jesus, I want to really thank God for my dear wife, Val, and the pivotal role she plays both in my life and in the life of our household of faith. I'm yet to see a woman with such great passion for the advancement of the kingdom of God, a rare and undying compassion for the lost, and a willingness to inconvenience herself for those in need. Today I want to honor you and thank you
for your contribution in the kingdom of God, your contribution in my life and in the life of our children and our precious grandchildren. Amen.
It's Women's Month. I want to share some examples concerning women in the Bible that will help us understand the spirit, the supernatural upgrade that should take place in the house of God. Say amen. Amen. The first person I want to look into is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know that she was known as a bondservant. She regarded herself as a bondservant of God. You read the account in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 56. You can read that at home. What upgrade came to Mary? She was a little girl that just passed a puberty. A little girl was had a visitation from God. A little girl was changed to, was upgraded rather, to the custodian of the greatest treasure this world has ever seen. What a privilege for God to come to a little girl and make her a custodian of the greatest treasure this world has ever seen, and that treasure is Jesus Christ, the grace of God. The messenger Gabriel was sent by God. God was apostolic, sending Gabriel. It meant that the messenger had to represent God exactly. The instruction did not originate with the messenger, but with God. The messenger was sent to Mary. Mary had no idea that she was special. We are so used to the regular ways we are acquainted with in running the affairs of life that any spiritual intervention or supernatural intervention will surprise us and even shock us. Are you ready for God to drop His favor on your virgin tomorrow? Your yesterday may have been tainted and is keep on dictating to you. It doesn't have to be like that in the future. What you need is a supernatural introduction like what Mary received. And the Bible says when she received a visitation, a supernatural touch, she rejoiced. And the angel said to her, rejoice. Gabriel, the angel said, rejoice. Every supernatural upgrade in your life must increase the rejoicing in your life. It must fill you with unprecedented joy. Jesus said, I came that your joy may be full. Your joy cannot be half or quarter level at its level. It must be filled into your life. And so when the angel came, he said to Mary, rejoice. And he called her in his introduction and in his message. He said three things. You are a highly favored one. In other words, I am here to pour grace into your life. Beloved, a little girl had a supernatural upgrade into a custodian who would carry Jesus and release him into the world. Hallelujah. And when you have this experience, it calls for rejoicing. Post-COVID, many of us are experiencing the touch of God. We're experiencing something that we never experienced before. There's an urgency in us to serve God. Our joy levels are increasing. Passion levels are increasing. We are distancing ourselves from distractions and things that don't make any sense to us as we are crawling back to God, as we are kneeling and seeking His face, as we are spending more time in prayer. Ah, beloved, rejoice. you are highly favored. The second thing that Mary was told, the Lord is with you. Yes, beloved, don't let fear cripple you, dictate to you, and tell you that there's no hope. As the angel, as a messenger came from God, I, as a servant of God, am coming to you this morning as a representative of God, as a messenger of God, with a message from God that you got to rejoice in whatever state that you are in. James tells us in James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, testings, and challenges, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience and will eventually bring your reward. After asking her to rejoice, the angel calls her a highly favored one. Are you ready to surrender your spiritual womb to the Lord? Have you built enough capacity for God to pour His grace into you? Thirdly, have you prepared your life as a dwelling place for God Himself to come and dwell in you? The Lord is with you. And thirdly, blessed are you among. So there could be so many people. Some are crying, some are fearful, some are hiding, some are cursing God. But you are blessed today. I want you to know there's a supernatural upgrade coming to you. This is not only for some great man of God or woman of God. This is for every one of you. When God comes, He is no respecter of persons. He only looks for those that build capacity. And this explosive greeting, loaded with direction and divine endowment, yes, beloved, this deposit can really set one apart. However, after Mary received this message, suddenly she was troubled as fear gripped her. See, fear is an agent that can shut the heavens. Be careful. It'll rob you of your supernatural outpouring. It'll cancel your faith. The angel had to reassure you. This morning, as an angel, as an angelos of God, I reassure you that you will not die but live. Rejoice. You are highly favored of the Lord. You're a masterpiece of God. You're a candidate for Him to abide in you and pour His grace into you. The Lord is with you, brother. The Lord is with you, sister. The Lord is with you, sons of God. Blessed are you among the brethren. Yes. Concerning Jesus, He will be great. The stuff that you're going to carry, Mary, will be great. Will be called the Son of the Highest. God will give Him the throne of His father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of His kingdom, there will be no end. Hallelujah. I want you to place yourself in the place of Mary. And what you're about to carry is going to be great. It's going to be something that is unique and something that is mighty. You can carry the presence of God in your life. And that which you carry inside you will cause you to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of the kingdom of God that will be set up in your life, there will be no end. You will have supernatural favor. This is about Mary. Hallelujah. This is about Mary. The Holy Spirit will come over you and release a supernatural power overshadowing you. You will be transformed by this power. The same Holy Ghost that came over Mary is alive today. He's at work today. He's present today. He understands you today. He's standing right by your side today. The Holy Spirit will come over you and He will release a supernatural power when He overshadows you. He makes you invisible to evil. He makes you invisible to your enemies. He makes you invisible to your challenges and hardships and because he overshadows you. Hallelujah. You will be transformed by this power, beloved. This is the power of God. And I want to share about this power in a few weeks' time. This power will set you apart from others. Your inner strength will be supernatural. Your speech will be supernatural. You will become attractive, resourceful, and highly favored. Get ready for what God is about to do in your life. For with God, the passage of Scripture tells us, nothing is impossible. He can produce where there is barrenness. Production in barrenness. That's what my God can do for you. You may feel you barren, you dry, you empty. There's nothing happening in your life. Well, you are get ready for God can produce something through your barrenness. Hallelujah. He's going to do it shortly. Get ready. Get on your knees and ask him, Father, I am barren, but you can pour yourself over me, into me rather, in Jesus' name. I also admire Mary's response. This is what she said, and this is what you must say. Don't say to yourself, I'm too busy with my business. I'm too busy with my life. I'm too busy with my things. I'm too busy about my career. Oh, I want you today to change that post-COVID. Say like Mary, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Next, let the word of the Lord prevail in my life. I like to repeat that. Mary's response, very admirable. I am the maidservant of the Lord. I am at your disposal, God. When you speak, I will do, Lord. I will worship you from my innermost being. I have come to realize the things around me are not significant, more significant than securing my life in you, Lord. Next, let the word of the Lord prevail in my life. The word of the Lord will take precedent and prominence and preeminence in my life. Yes, beloved, that's the first case study of how spiritual upgrade or supernatural upgrade or a divine upgrade must be found in the house of God. Secondly, let's look at Abigail, a woman of integrity. She had a supernatural upgrade from a suppressed subject in her husband Nabal's house as a wife to Nabal. She was a suppressed subject, and God gave her a supernatural upgrade to becoming a queen in King David's palace. Whoa. You can read of the story of Abigail in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And I urge you to go and read the story. It's a brilliant story, or a true story, brilliant story about Abigail and Nabal and David. It's a story of one of the most faithful and honorable women mentioned in God's word. If you want to be a faithful, honorable woman, a woman of integrity, then read this story and ask the Holy Spirit to pull out these qualities and install them in your life. Yes, we just spoke about the Holy Spirit can come over you and he can release a supernatural power over you. He can overshadow you. He can transform you. Come on. There has to be an upgrade in our lives. Integrity, openness, transparency is very important. Getting rid of falsehood, deception, exaggeration, elasticizing the truth, all kinds of things we can get rid of by installing integrity. Now, Abigail's foolish husband was Nabal. Okay, so after the death of Prophet Samuel, verse 1 of chapter 25, David and his men moved into the wilderness of Paran, just a few kilometers from the city of Carmel. You can read that in 1 Samuel 25, verse 1 to 2. And I'm going to reference this story at different points of this chapter. While in this region, David became acquainted with a man named Nabal, whose name means fool. Fool, you can read that in 1 Samuel 25:25. The word signifies one who is foolish, base, and is a villain. So three important words: fool, base man, villain. So that was Nabal. It is also interesting to note that he was of the house of Caleb. The name Caleb signifies a dog or a man who is stingy and mean. Okay, 1 Samuel 25:3. Okay, would you go there? It is unfortunate that Abigail was married to such a man. Now, David was on duty protecting the area close to the home. And through his servants, he asked Nabal to provide some necessary sustenance for him and his men in verse 8. But Nabal refused. You can read that in 1 Samuel 25:10 to 11. He refused. We can plainly see the bloated ego of this man in 1 Samuel 25:11, where the personal pronoun I or my is used 7 times. Fortunately, one of David's servants told Nabal's wife concerning the insults that had been hurled at his fellow servants by Nabal. Verse 14. Even though David's men had protected Nabal's men and sheep from outside forces. You know, beloved, there are people, although you do so much good to them, it takes them a moment to forget the good that you do for them. Sometimes they are offended by one small thing, and they forget the hundreds of good things that you have done for them. And it takes them nothing to turn against you and to forget all the good. These people are ones that are foolish, that have a base mentality, and they do not represent God accurately as sons of God. Yet David is protecting Nabal against the enemy, his house, his sheep, his family, his marriage. David's protecting with his men. And he asks some water, he asks some food from them because he had run out of supplies. And Nabal, being a stingy man out of the house of Caleb, one who had an ego about himself, and looked down upon others, he turned down helping those that gave their lives for him. As soon as Abigail heard of her husband's insulting behavior towards David, she began to make preparations to come up for his foolish actions. Now, David was so angry that Nabal's stinginess, meanness, and evil nature, that he told his men, let's go and put an end to this whole family. Fortunately, the servant came and told Abigail, a wonderful woman, a godly woman, woman of integrity, a woman that later became upgraded supernaturally to the wife of David. David could not resist her because of a beautiful nature. So without telling her husband of her plan, you read that in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 25, she and her servants prepared a large amount of food and drink and traveled to where David was with his men, where they were camping. You read that in 18 to 20. Abigail prevented certain disaster regarding herself and her family by humbling herself before David. Abigail did an extraordinary thing when she took the blame for the sin of her husband. You can read that in 1 Samuel 25:28. She humbled herself and interceded for her people before David. She stood in the gap. David, oh King David, don't kill my husband. Don't kill myself. Don't kill my family. Don't kill my people. Desiring to intercede on behalf of one's family requires a character of humility, sacrifice, and personal cost. The result of Abigail's action was that David's heart was softened and he was kept from bloodshed that day. Hallelujah. He accepted her offering and granted her request. Abigail was godly in the following ways. Number one, she was a wise woman. She recognized the need to humble herself and intercede for her people before David and was willing to do so. Secondly, she was a courageous woman. Abigail risked her life, firstly by not telling her husband of her plans. In those times, women were their husband's property. Nabal was a wealthy man. In verse 2, she could have lost everything, even her life, for taking matters into her own hands. Secondly, going to meet David was very risky. Can you imagine riding into that mountain raven on a donkey? And coming towards you are 400 men with swords and an angry leader at the head. 1 Samuel 25:13. But Abigail was a courageous woman, and her motive was to plead for the lives of others. She didn't think of herself. She was prepared to die. Note, we may not be called to risk our lives, but we too can be bold and courageous. We can speak out against injustices. We can intercede for the oppressed, according to Isaiah 1:17. Not only was she a wise woman and a courageous woman, she was a prophetic woman. Abigail spoke prophetic words to David. David realized this, and as a result, much bloodshed was averted that day. Wow! She was a faithful woman. She believed in God and spoke forth his message to David. Abigail was rewarded for her faithfulness. She became the wife to David, the future king. You read about that in 1 Samuel 25:42. Let's conclude on this issue. Abigail was certainly a woman of integrity. And she was destined along with other women we read about in the Bible, who God used in extraordinary ways. Esther, Deborah, and just now we'll cover Hannah. We've covered Mary. These women did remarkable things in their day and generation. But God wants us to do remarkable things for him in our day and our generation. How about an upgrade in your life? An upgrade from a suppressed subject to becoming the queen, the leader, the much sought after person in your jurisdiction. This can happen whether you're male or female, brother or sister. There's an upgrade coming to you. Hold on to integrity. Hold on to the principles that God has given us of how we should conduct ourselves. Be humble like Abigail. Listen, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Are we willing to display the integrity and courage in our lives that Abigail displayed in hers in carrying out the Lord's will? Now let's go to the third example and speak about Hannah. Hannah was a woman of honor. Abigail was a woman of integrity. Mary was a born servant. Now you keep these words in your mind. If you want a supernatural upgrade, become a born servant of Jesus Christ. Be it unto me as you desire, Lord. I will not argue with you. I will not lie to you. I will not, Lord, say one thing and do another thing. I'm your born servant, Mary. Abigail, live a life of transparency. If you want an upgrade, supernatural upgrade, be open, be humble, and God will give you your upgrade. Thirdly, Hannah, she was a woman of honor. Her honor for spiritual authority promoted her, opened her home, and she accessed grace. Her honor for spiritual authority promoted her, and she accessed grace. Now, all true honor, beloved, originates from the heart. Originates from the heart. You can read the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can read the whole story. But she was a woman that honored spiritual authority. And God saw that and promoted her, opened her womb, and she accessed grace. The Bible says in Isaiah 29:13, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and the fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. Look at it. All true honor originates from the heart. That is why you must keep your hearts pure. You must empty yourself of anything that will mess up true honor entering your heart. All true honor originates from the heart. True honor is an outflow from the heart that fears God. Fears God. In Hosea chapter 14 verse 1 to 2, Israel was judged as having iniquity. What was the iniquity? The iniquity was that they were offering the sacrifices of their lips only, but their hearts were far from God. And I pray today that you will not do that. True honor comes from the heart. Study the heart of Hannah. She was insulted. She was ostracized. She was looked down with contempt and disdain, man, by even the priest Eli, who misjudged her prayer and thought that she was drunk. With all that accusation, she was not offended. She knew that if she was offended, she could cut off grace and honor filling her heart. And so she chose to stay silent and be connected to her purpose and to what she wanted desperately from God, a child. A child. And you know, the whole story of Samuel becoming the child born to him, that she surrendered the child to the Lord. So true honor comes from the heart, beloved. In Luke 6:45, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. In Matthew 12:34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Proverbs 4:20 and 21, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Proverbs 4:7. Today, if you hear his voice, his word, do not harden your hearts. The word harden comes from the Greek word sklerino, meaning inflexible, obstinately stubborn, resisting. Today, if you hear the word of the Lord, don't resist the word. Don't be stubborn. Don't be inflexible. Bible says in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, for the word of God discerns, it sees the thoughts and intents of the heart. All things are open to the eyes of God, to whom we must give an account. And our attention is drawn to the wife of David, Michelle, in 2 Samuel 6, 14, 23. She despised her husband David in her heart for him executing his spiritual duties before God. God shut her womb till her death. She did not produce a posterity or to the throne from her womb. Her womb was shut. You can read that in verse 16 and verse 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. Yes, Hannah honored the servant of God, Eli, when she was insulted. She could have reacted with a mouthful. This would have disqualified her. She then would have remained barren and full of sorrow and pain. She calls Eli, Lord. Man, calling someone who insults you as Lord. She then refers to herself as his handmaiden. In other words, I'm here to serve you. You may be a priest that is disconnected from God, but I am here to serve you. I still see you as Lord because you are the anointed of God. She spoke to him with utmost respect. She honored him. This had nothing to do with what Eli did, but how Hannah received the man who was over her in authority. If we honor those over us, we receive the full reward God gives through their position. In the end, Eli was sentenced. He fell off his stool, broke his neck, and he died. And Hannah was rewarded. Are you ready for your spiritual upgrade when you know how to carry honor into the house of God? Honor in the house. When you carry honor in the house, there is a supernatural upgrade. Again, when you are a bond servant of God in the house, and not just a casual visitor, but you become a bond servant in the house, you are ready for a supernatural upgrade. When you, like Abigail, uphold and treasure integrity in the house and carry integrity in the house and operate in the house with integrity, you are ready for a supernatural upgrade. Oh, blessed be Jesus. When you know how to honor spiritual authority in the house, be a person of honor, you will be promoted and you will easily access grace over you and your children. Yes. Finally, let's just look at the fourth example, or final example. That's Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman. From a Moabite widow, she was supernaturally upgraded to a model son and eventually a favored bride. She was from the Moabite tribe. She lost her husband. She was a widow, a Moabite widow. Bring a Moabite widow in a land that God did not favor. God favored this one woman. Hallelujah. She became a model son to Naomi and then a favored bride to Boaz. You can read this entire story. I urge you to read the whole book of Ruth. It's a beautiful love story of how God takes a foreigner, brings them into Bethlehem of Judah, favors this person, all because she chose to be a model son to a spiritual father, Naomi. Boaz is eventually the husband of the bride, Ruth. Yes, all the ladies know him. He's rich, he's single, he's looking for a good woman, And he's like type of Christ in the story. And here comes Naomi, Ruth, from the land of the Moabite. And she meets the best man in Judah. Hallelujah. The story goes as follows, very briefly. When everything was crumbling, a father-in-law, Elimelech, dies. Her husband dies. The husband's brother dies. And Naomi is left single. She came with her husband and two sons when there was a famine in Bethlehem of Judah. Judah means praise. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. There was a drought. There was no food. There was a famine. And Elimelech takes his two sons and his wife Naomi, goes to Moab to settle down. And there they find wives, and both the sons and the husband dies. One of the daughter-in-laws goes back and doesn't want to come, stays in the land of Moab. But Ruth says to Naomi, "You're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Wherever you go, I will go. You are my mother-in-law. But you're also my guide, the one that teaches me, the one that I see the light of God, I see a leader in you." So she follows Naomi when Naomi chooses to go back to Bethlehem. And when she goes back, Ruth follows her. And some of my points is, she remained faithful during faithlessness. And the Lord rewarded her. He gave her a new husband, Boaz, a son Obed, and a privileged son Obed of the lineage of David and Christ. And she was in a privileged position, all because she chose to be a model son to Naomi. And she chose to remain faithful to a spiritual father. Beloved, this story tells us the importance of spiritual fathering in the house. How to become a model son in the house of God. And you will be favored with the best. Amen. So, we see that Ruth symbolically represents perfected spiritual sonship. She's described by Naomi as better than seven sons. You can read that in Ruth 4:15. This automatically casts Naomi in the symbolic role of a spiritual father. Ruth's rapid movement into complete redemption by Boaz, who symbolically represents Christ, once was, amongst other things, because of the manner in which he consistently ministered to the material and practical needs of Naomi. Let's read two scriptures and close. Ruth 2:11. Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me." Boaz, the new husband, saying, in other words, what you have done for your spiritual father has been registered, and now you are getting ready to be rewarded. In Ruth 3:17, she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'Do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Empty-handed. So Boaz gave her something to take to a spiritual father, because he knew the principle that you cannot go to your spiritual father empty-handed, the one that you're drawing from, the one that's guiding you, strengthening you. These are two important principles in your role as a model son. All that you have done in the life of your spiritual father will never go unnoticed by Jesus Christ. Secondly, always remember, whatever you take to your spiritual father will be registered by the Lord, because your spiritual father is one sent by God in Jesus' name. And I thank God for this, that these points can help us understand spiritual upgrade in the house of God. God richly bless you today. I hope these few points that I've put together has helped you understand the importance of your spiritual upgrade. Mary was a bondservant, and because of that, she became the custodian of the greatest treasure this world has ever seen. Abigail, a woman of integrity, was shifted from a suppressed subject in Nabal's house. She became the queen in King David's palace. Hannah, a woman of honor, her honor for spiritual authority promoted her, opened her womb, and she accessed grace. Ruth, in the book of Ruth, she was upgraded supernaturally from a Moabite widow to a model son and a favored bride. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 34, you read the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She was upgraded supernaturally from just a woman. In verse 21, from a woman to a daughter in verse 34, known as a daughter. How about you today? Are you ready for your supernatural upgrade? Are you ready for what God wants to do to you, do for you, do to you, and do in you? He wants to bring the supernatural upgrade. The house cannot just have visitors up and down. There has to be those that will become bond servants, model sons, people of integrity, and building the house. Today, may you and I get ready for our supernatural upgrade. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and the Lord allow His countenance to shine upon you. Shalom.